So it's been a super day for us and our conversations. And we're getting to the big one this morning. We have Ajiri Ngalale joining us. And we're going to be talking about infrastructure. Now, Nigeria's infrastructure, particularly in the past few years. Where have we come from? Where are we at now? Where we expect to be in? It's one that always brings divided views. So fasten your seatbelt. It's usually contentious. And I'm very sure Mr. Ajiri is no stranger to contention. Good morning, Ajiri.
Good morning to you, my dear brother.
Good morning.
To the great people of
Earth. How are you doing this morning, Ajiri?
Very well indeed.
Okay, all right. So, Ajiri, our conversation this morning, however short it might be, is going to be about infrastructure. We've had conversations with you earlier on in the year and even late last year about the deep sea port, about several infrastructure that this government, this administration has had its eye on and what it hopes to achieve in the not distant future. So sit back, Ajiri. Rivers people want to listen and they have questions for you. And if you are just joining us, this is where the region has its best conversations. My guest Ajiri Ngalale joins us, speaking to us from Abuja. Ajiri, welcome once again.
Thank you very much.
So, Ajiri, let's jump straight into the deep end. What is the latest happening in the world of infrastructure development? We've had people talk about monies being borrowed. We've had people talk about how these monies are going to be affecting the future. But what is the state of the infrastructure and what big points do you think this government has right now?
Thank you very much for this opportunity, and thank you for our listeners who are tuning in for taking time out of their days to be with us. Let me just say that is really, I think, the defining mark of what President Muhammadu Buhari is putting in place, is the foundational infrastructure, which will be the base upon which we can build a really a sustainable developing economy, where we can attract the kinds of industries, factories, and organizations that will provide the mass employment for our teeming youths and citizens who, of course, for many years have not had enough opportunities. And, of course, no government in the world can create enough jobs for its population, particularly not in a country of 200 million. So infrastructure is very important. Now let's get to the very specifics. And I'm going to do as much as I can in as short a time as I can. And I want to be very clear that everything I say is subject to verification. I don't expect anybody just to take my word because I have said it. These are things that you can actually look up and you can see the images for yourself, anybody who wants to do that. Now, let's start from the southwest. Well, we'll come to the south-south. In the southwest, major projects you've had in a time, of course, in the last 6 years, we've consistently had depressed oil prices through the Trump era. And it fairly continues now, even if you compare it to what we had 2010, when you're looking at $100 per barrel. Now we're about 70, which is okay, and all that. Now, what we have in the southwest is you have the Lagos-Sagamu-Ibadan Expressway, abandoned since the late 1970s. That is going to be completed next year. We've been working on it now for 3 years. It's been not just a reconstruction, but even an expansion, adding additional lanes, flyovers, and overchanges and the like. Now, you have that. In addition to that, you have the Lagos-Abeokuta-Ibadan high-speed rail line, which, of course, we started in 2016. And when we started in 2016, when we said we were going to do it, because the president campaigned on it, they said, which government in the history of Nigeria has ever started and completed its own rail line? It has never happened in the history of Nigeria. No PDP government did it. How will you come and do it? It's not possible. But now, of course, people are seeing that we started the Lagos-Ibadan rail line, and people are now using the completed Lagos-Ibadan rail line. And we're even extending it further into Apapa Port, which is not even part of the original plan. And even that one is even almost done. But the original plan, totally done. People are using it. You've seen the world-class train stations and all of that, and that axis. So that's number one. That's number two. Then, of course, we put in place this is a very strategic one, the Apapa Oworo-Sokoto toll gate road. Mm. So in the late 70s, again, neglect across our ports, which has had terrible impact on import-export facilitation and trade because, of course, the congestion of the port facilities and the surrounding infrastructure. Now, within the next 6 months, we're completing totally the Apapa toll gate route, which is going to be a historic transformation for our economy.
Okay.
That's in the southwest alone. Now, I've not even talked about Lagos Badagry Expressway reconstruction, which is ongoing, Lagos Ota Abeokuta Expressway, which is ongoing, and so many others. that's the southwest, right? And then the new Murtala Mohammed International Airport Terminal, very similar to the new Port Harcourt International Airport that President Muhammadu Buhari constructed, is also going to be fully completed by, I think, the second quarter of 2022, next year as well. So that is going to be there as well. Now, that's just the southwest. Now, let's turn our eyes to the southeast very quickly before I come to the south-south. In the southeast, what do you have? You have, of course, the well-known mega project, over 300 billion for the Second Niger Bridge, which, of course, all of us have been talking about since the late 70s. Oh, Second Niger Bridge. But nobody wanted to put a cobble there. Nobody put a brick there, not to speak of a pillar in the water. So we inherited 0%, not even an attempt to start. What we had was a drawing on a board. We had not just started it. We're going to complete it next year. We've been working on that for about 3 years now. It's at the very advanced stage. I believe 70%. Not only are we doing the bridge, which is an expansion of the original bridge. The original bridge was just two lanes.
Two lanes. Right?
This one is yes. three lanes on each side, six lanes altogether. And then we also said, look, the bottlenecks around the original First Niger Bridge. Of course, you recall that you had this bottleneck at the end of each side, because the roads leading up to it, the feeder roads, were narrow. So what we've done is we've now constructed two six-lane highways on both sides of the bridge, so that there's no bottleneck.
So that's on the Asaba end, and as well as the Onitsha end.
That is very correct. On both ends, you have brand new six-lane expressway that we're constructing simultaneously with the bridge itself. So that's very, very strategic. Then in addition to the Second Niger Bridge, which is going to be open for operation next year, we also have the Enugu-Onitsha Expressway, which we're working with MTN on the full reconstruction of through Presidential Executive Order 007. That's the Road Refurbishment and Tax Credit Scheme, where we have private companies that are very liquid, right, who can pay upfront for world-class construction works on a particular road project that they adopt. Then in exchange, once they have concluded construction that we have overseen and all of that, then we now pay them back in the form of calibrated tax relief. So if the road costs 100 billion, we can now pay them back 10 billion every year for 10 years, 10 billion taken off of their taxes, tax relief. So that's kind of how that works. That's what we're doing with Dangote construction on the Apapa Horo Sheki Toll Gate Road, which will be completed soon, that I mentioned. That's what we're doing with Onitsha Enugu Expressway. That's what we're doing with the 200 billion Naira Bonibodo Road, which I'll get to that when I get to the south. So now you have the you have Second Niger Bridge, Onitsha Enugu Expressway. You also have, of course, I don't have to tell my people what has happened on the Enugu-Port Harcourt Expressway compared to 2015, when the whole thing was just mud and tankers flipped on their head, and the potholes were larger than human beings, deeper than the height of an adult human being, and all of that. We have now gone to the stage where people have seen what has happened on Enugu-Port Harcourt Expressway. That work continues there. That's going to be completed during this administration as well. But about Port Harcourt Expressway, all of us know what Oyibo looked like before now. As you pass through the Oyibo section of about Port Harcourt Expressway, now you are seeing eight lanes. Looks like Abuja International Airport Road. We all know what that was before. I was almost killed on that road in my younger years. So I know what that road has been for the last 20 years. So, you know, at the end of the day, the propaganda can only go so far. When you say you're going to do something, it only goes so far. But when people, even those who hate, when they see the work you're doing, they cannot say that you did not do it. They have to acknowledge you did it. Even if they continue to hate you, they have to acknowledge that you did it.
Okay.
So that is basically what we'll continue to be doing. In the south, my brother, if you don't mind, very quickly, and I hope we have a moment to get to the north, because that's also important. In the south, I mentioned in passing the 200 billion Naira Bonibodo Road, which will be completed next year.
Hopefully,
that has about, I believe, about 9 bridges, 3 major bridges, about 6 small bridges, in very, very difficult terrain. You're talking about swampy terrain. So, building that kind of road in a normal environment is already costly. But building it on swamp and mangrove is extremely costly. But the president was determined to say, look, we have to be able to facilitate, for the first time in our nation's history, the road transportation of gas products, in addition to the pipelines and all of the other, in the rail line that we're doing from Boni to Port Harcourt and all of that. We have to have multiple modes by which we can transport the these items and open up the economy of River State as well for the rest of the country to also benefit from, as well as River State benefiting from the rest of the country. So you have that being completed next year. The you've seen the work has already started on the Elena Junction axis of the East-West Road. The East-West Road, we have already mobilized to site across multiple sections of the East-West Road, not just in Elena, where I'm from, River State, but also in Akwa Ibom, also in Calabar, and other sections in Delta as well. So we're committed to completing the East-West Road, the remaining sections that had not been completed before now. So that is also on the ground. And then, of course, you have the, just recently, we unveiled the new Econ Bridge, a very historic bridge, and nobody's talking about it, which links Cross River to Cameroon to facilitate regional trade and commerce. You now have a brand new bridge. Anybody with a smartphone can quickly Google Econ, I-K-O-N, Econ Bridge. Go and see what we have done there compared to what was there before. Brand new bridge. That is now is going to be a very strategic economic artery for not just the South-South, but for Nigerian and Cameroon regional trade. That has been done. And we're working very hard on the Calabar E2 Odupani Expressway, which is very strategic as well, a link to the country. And that's also being under that's also under construction right now. In addition to Sagamu, Benin, Asaba, these are two major expressways right now, federal expressways, that are being totally reconstructed as we speak. So, I mean, if I get into the Middle Belt in the North, hopefully you'll give me about 5 minutes for the Middle Belt in the North.
Okay, before we get there, now you mentioned, you touched very briefly on a key road that caused a lot of national concern from River State about 2 months ago. That's the Eleme Road. Yes, the Eleme, Oyibo to Aba Road. People have commented that the road is in pretty good shape. It's wider now. There are lanes. People have been worried about the security because people are not driving, you know, against traffic because the road is now so good. But let's talk about a road here from your area, the Akpajo Eleme Oyibo or Bigbo Road, that has gone through neglect. Now, the neglect is so bad that in other feeder roads that link to that place, places like Umeble, for example, 1 and 2, also parts of Igboeche, the roads have been bad. And these roads, these communities rather, play host to a lot of businesses that the federal government, as well as the state government, takes money from. But the big one is that Akpajo on Nair Road. That's the port road, and that road on the very regular, and I'm talking to you now today, people have made comments that they slept there last week for a night. That's how bad the road is. It got to national attention. It got to a national attention when the youths of that region blocked the road for almost a week. Like you said, mobilization has been done. Uh-huh. But why did he have to take the youths to block the road for that road to be fixed? We've had rains for years.
The interesting thing about your observation is that it's almost as if you are on that road with them. I appreciate your passion. Let me just say that it is a very wrong impression or assumption to make that it was because of or a product of that particular protest action that work began. That's just absolutely not true. I can tell you that because I'm in the center. What happened? We are already, the Honorable Minister Akpabio had been there, Minister of State Alasu Adua had been there. We had already come to an advanced stage with RCC on that particular section of the road, getting the papers in order so that they can be paid and mobilized to the site, right? The alignment of when that protest action took place, you know, some people like politics a lot. Right, probably even more than development in some cases. I'm not talking about citizens now, I'm talking about political actors. When political actors see an opportunity, anything that they can do to grab attention, they'll do it, or to grab credit, they will do it. So if, for example, let me just say, hypothetically, that if a source in the River State government found out that next week we're going to be mobilizing to federal government mobilizing people to site, RCC to site at Lemme Junction, please get chairman, local government chairman, go and get your boys. Go and mobilize there. go and organize today to do what? So yes. It looks like, oh, it's because of
you know, but Adjie, that's not the view I'm taking. But the question, Nigerians, particularly those in that area.
I want to land my point. You've asked me a question, and you've laid out an assumption that I have to make sure that our viewers understand is incorrect. So what I'm saying is that, that's number one, the politics. Number two, my brother, I'm happy that you're an unbiased person. You have come out and said, look, yeah, you've acknowledged what has happened, no big boy, you go a local government area and all of that, fantastic. If you listen to the state government, they will tell you that if anybody can name one project federal government has done in River State, I will resign the office. He has not resigned yet. Meanwhile, the new international airport in Port Harcourt, where he went and praised Buhari, praised him, oh, the president has made Rivers people happy today. On live television, he said it to everybody. Now he's saying that not one project, if you can name one project, I will resign. He has not resigned. What I'm saying is that we have multiple projects across River State. Well, I'm not even talking about the Bonny Deep Seaport, which is commencing construction, or the new railway that will link Bonny to Port Harcourt, to the Port Harcourt Maiduguri line and all of that. I'm talking about the one that you can go and see, like the one that you even rightly attested to as well. So there are several projects. Our only, in the end of the day, we don't want to. There's a time for politics, there's a time for government.
True.
Our focus is making sure that. The way is, my brother, as much as you have passion, and I'm proud of the fact that you have passion, because this is what we need in the country, passion for development. What is what we need to ask ourselves? Because, you know, some people say they claim to love River State people more than themselves, which we all know isn't true. Those who claim to love River State more than themselves, right, are the same people who are in Abuja when all these roads that President Muhammadu Buhari is now constructing were not constructed. And we had somebody who went to University of Port Harcourt, who was raised up in River State, lectured in River State, and he was president of the Federation. What excuse did we have not to have these roads? So when you are saying, you know, this road is not done, this road was not done, this road, yes, I see that you're doing this road now, this one was not done, this airport was not done, all these things. The question is, for 16 years, with the highest oil prices, with our land there in the villa, why did we not do it? And why did this governor, who was minister under that president, why did he not put pressure to get these things done? Maybe because Rivers people are actually not the priority. The president is saying Rivers people are now the priority.
Fine. Rivers people are not the priority. And it's more a question, many Rivers people, it's not a question of throwing sticks and stones and playing games, but it's not so much as the political actors, like you said, but in the years, particularly in the past 2 or 3 years, you know, for those areas that I've made mention of, right now as we speak, people in Igbo Eche, people in parts of Oyibo right now, don't have good access to their homes. Some people are now on a daily basis praying to God or Allah, whoever they believe, just to come home without being robbed, raped, or maimed. So all of this points to the question, why did it take so long? Yes, they've been RCC moving and all of that. I agree. We know Akpabio was in the region about a year and a half ago to look at the Umpolu Junction that has been worked on right now, to look at that other road that leads to Akwa Ibom, that's the Onere Port Harcourt Road, Onere Obigbo Road, to look at all those roads. But why did it take so long? Let's ignore if there were political actors involved. That road is an economic line for the federal government. That's what the people in that region have been stating. Why did it take so long?
My dear brother, first and foremost, yeah, we're realists now. We're not playing to the gallery. We're not pretending that you wave magic wand and things get done.
True.
That's not how infrastructure works. And I know you know that.
Very true.
There's no way that you're going to build an expressway, 8-lane or 4-lane or whatever it is, in 6 months. Unless you're, in fact, you can't even pretend to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and not to speak of the very rainy and difficult terrain of the Niger Delta. We all know what it is. Are we not seeds of the soil? We know what it is. What I am saying is that when you have 200, and this is what many Nigerians do not realize, we have 200,000, I want to repeat this for everybody to hear very well, 200,000 kilometers of road in Nigeria, that is federal road, state road, and local government-owned road, 3 tiers, 200,000 kilometers plus in Nigeria, right? We have 35,000 kilometers of federal road. 35,000 out of 200,000 are federal road.
Yeah, about 18%, yes?
Yes, it's 16%, that's correct. We have another 16% of 35,000 kilometers of road, that is state road, right? Then you now have about 130,000 kilometers of road, 68%.
that is local government-owned road, right? Now, many of the access roads you're talking about, access roads, internal roads, those are not federal roads. That's number one. Number two, the president said, look, what we have to do in this country is that understanding that 84% of the roads that Nigerians are complaining about are not even under the purview of the federal government of Nigeria. Mm. What they must do is what previous administrations failed to do, which is ensure that local governments actually get their funds. Until now, my brother, and you know, River State has been like the poster child of this particular issue of caretaker, 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 everything is caretaker. What we have done is we said, look, the management of local government resources, in June 2019, it was President Muhammadu Buhari against the resistance of the state governors that said, we are going to embark on the enact the NFIU guidelines, which for the first time in the history of the country, for 20 years, we have been complaining, state governments didn't hijack the local government on New York, didn't hijack up. We have been complaining that local governments don't get their resources, that they are like house boys to the state governors. What we have now done, in actual effect, is that with those NFIU guidelines, the money for the local governments are going straight to the local governments by passing the accounts of the state government. And the state governments have not been happy about it, but the president did it. Why? Because he recognized that the developmental burden of responsibility on the local government, 68% of the nation's roadways, primary education, primary health, and so many other aspects of activity at the local government, that they need the money. Mm. If this country is going to develop, they need the money. That is restructuring in action, not the one that people talk about during campaign because they want to be president. The actual restructuring is what the president is actually doing. So for us, our focus now is moving forward, saying, look, local governments need to have their resources so that they can cater to the needs of the citizens at the local level. Because all of us are products of local government. We don't live in a state. We don't live at the street we're on. It's not a state street. Usually, it's a local government street in a local government community. That's where we're from. So what we're saying is the very base of development must have the resources to develop, and that is what the president has given to them. So all these other issues around, you know, the deficit, when we talk roads, bridges, airports, seaports, all these things, you're talking about 50 years, my brother, civilian and military, not just PDP, by the way, even NPN, you name it, 50 years worth of failed administration, worth of just corruption, diversion, misappropriation, and all of that. What the president has basically done is said, look, we are going to use the very limited resources we have to build projects, open opportunities and projects for people to actually experience for themselves. That is why, my brother, this morning, we can actually talk about, you can go to the site of Bonny Bodo Road, across the entire axis, across the Opobo Channel, and go and see what is happening there. You will know that it's not a Julian Dolly, the SSA, to Mr. President, who is spitting propaganda. You will know what is happening there.
Okay.
So this is what we're saying. Right. I am proud of the fact that anything I have said on this program this morning, I can verify that we are not only doing it, but that I am telling you as a fact that we're going to complete it next year. So you can hold me to my words.
All right, Ajiri, we're going to go for the news update shortly. And if you just joined us, Ajiri Ngala is my guest. Please start to send your questions, because when we return, we'll give Ajiri just about 5 minutes. I have two interesting roads I'd like to talk to him about. One in the north and one also here in the south. We'll talk about those roads about 5-6 minutes. We'll open the phone lines, get to hear from you and your views on the state of infrastructure, where we were before, where we are now, where we hope to be. Andrew Galale is my guest. Andrew will be back with you in a moment.
Hello, Port Hackett. Say hello to the buzz, the vibes, the peculiarities and regularities of a contemporary city.
Hello, Port Hackett. Let's talk about this modern metropolis sprawling from the city to the exurbs, the suburbs, township, community and your locality.
Let's talk about happenings in your neighborhood, standards at your workplace, social amenities and issues of great concern to you on Hello, Port Hackett.
Hello, Port Hackett.
Every weekday from 9 a.m. to midday on your number one station for talk, news and sports. 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
Oh, yes. So it's all about Nigeria. It's all about our infrastructure. We're taking a look here in the South this morning. My guest is Ajirin Galali. If you want to get to speak with us this morning, these are the numbers to use. 0817-923-0003. I like to take the numbers again, please. 0817-923-0003. Once again, Ajiri Ngalali joins us. Good morning, Ajiri.
Good morning, my dear brother.
All right, so we have messages here, and one of them is very similar to the question that I wanted to ask. We want to talk about two roads. Now, very interesting road construction you made mention on one of the projects that has been carried out, the Ekom Bridge. A very, very interesting lifeline, a link trade route line between here in Nigeria and our cousins over in Cameroon. Now, a Nigerian has asked, and Nigerians have asked before, why do we spend so much money trying to work on these trade routes whilst the internal routes, like we had mentioned, have not been particularly great? Yes, the majority of the roads people are complaining about have not been under the purview of the federal government. But even those that are under the purview have not actually been resolved. Why was the emphasis on some of these trade routes, Ajiri?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think first and foremost, we recognize as an administration that we're capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time. You don't have the luxury of, as a government, of being, elemental in your thinking to the point that you say, okay, if I haven't done this, then I can't do this. You have to be able to simultaneously develop, right? So what we've done is said, look, you take the low-hanging fruit. If you know that there's major a regional trade, right, that is going to benefit millions of people across both countries, including, of course, Nigerian suppliers, vendors, markets, et cetera, consumers, and all of that. And you have one bridge. And what this bridge is not like, it's not like Second Niger Bridge. It's not like one of these very, very long, huge, hundreds of billions type of project. It's not that scope of project. So we're able to put it in place over the course of about a three-year period. We built it, and now it is there. It's extremely high quality, but it's a much shorter distance. That's why I was saying, if anybody can just quickly Google and take a look at what we have done there, you'll see it. So that's important. We can do that while also simultaneously voting about 72 billion to the Calabar or the Pani E2 road, which is a very strategic artery for internal trade and commerce in the country. And I'm talking about for Nigeria, not for Cameroon. So we're taking the hinterland as well as the link points. Same thing, Lagos Badagry Expressway. We're taking it to Senne border, right? So we're working on the border area, but we're also focused on the hinterland. That is what we're doing. The next part I want to mention, my brother, because this is really very crucial, is that when we talk about South-South, you cannot talk about South-South road and bridge only, which we are doing at a scope that nobody has even attempted to do before us. And I'm talking 40 years. I'm not just talking about PDP now. Is that we are also the rail lines. So you had, since 1987, the Warren Etakpi rail line had been totally abandoned. 1987, my brother. Older than some people that are listening to us now, right? This president completed it at the end of 2019 after a lot of investment, new stations, upgrading the rail line to a high-speed rail line and all of that, 326 kilometers. So that is on the one end. On the other end, you have the Itakpi rail line. On the other end of it, the president is now has now approved for the extension of the Itakpi rail line through Lokoja up to Abuja. So then it will now link up to the rest of the country. Lagos Ibadan linking to Abuja, and Abuja Kaduna Kano linking to the north, so down to the south. And then, of course, the Port Harcourt, Borno to Port Harcourt to Maiduguri through the southeast, linking all the southeast capitals, will also be linking with Abuja. So you find that anywhere you are in the country with the integrated rail master plan that the president is actually implementing, not paying lip service to, but implementing, you're now having any part of the country have access to rail, not just for the sake of moving human beings in air-conditioned car, which is nice. It's really for the economic value of moving cold and hot cargo across the country in and out of our ports to stimulate massive economic activity, because that is where you will generate the revenues that you will now pay back the loans that you took to construct those particular infrastructure. And people don't recognize that when you take $1.5 billion to construct Lagos Ibadan rail line, $1.5 billion,
we can pay back that money within 4 years with just the cargo export import alone. And people don't recognize that. Okay. It's a wise investment. They've got foolish borrowing that we saw in previous administration, where they'll be borrowing billions of dollars to be stealing it. That's the future. That's where we're going.
Okay, that's the future. We're trying to lay emphasis every time on what the other government didn't or didn't do. Now, I did make mention, before we go on to the line, Fasai is speaking to us from London, all right? Let's get to hear from Fasai this morning. Fasai, good morning. Hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, Fasai.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Fasai.
Yeah, good morning. Oh, please, I'd like to commend the federal government
okay.
for the project I've been working on, particularly Ajayi Bilali, and I've been following him for quite a long time. But I just want to ask some questions.
Yes.
I would just want to know the progress Nigeria has made about the cement deal and when we are going to be seeing the installation, because we have not seen anything about the cement
But could you repeat that, Fasai? Could you repeat that? You want to get clarification on what project?
Cement.
And when the installation will begin?
Okay.
Because I've been following that for quite a long time now, and
yes.
Told us about the cement power deal. I need to know what's going on about it.
Thank you.
When the implementation and and secondly. I need to know what's going on about Nigeria database, because all the work Nigeria is doing about in the security without proper database is very. Please, what's going on about database? You need to know who and who is in Nigeria. You need to know our database. Without the database, every infrastructure is zero.
Fasai makes very important questions there. Ajayi?
Yes. Hey, thank you very much. So you recall, my dear brother, thank you for calling in and spending your credit and your time with us this morning. I just want to say that on the Presidential Power Initiative, known as the Siemens Project, there are a few issues. Number one, and we're very happy about how it's moving forward now, is, you know, the president basically, you recall there's a major reshuffling in the power sector in the last few weeks.
Yes.
The president had replaced the Minister of Power with the former Minister of State for Works and Housing. We are very, very optimistic about the change that is going to bring because of the antecedents of that particular Minister of State. That being said, that's just one cog in the wheel that I think that has been replaced. The other part of it is that His Excellency the President, some of these things you don't hear about on the newspaper because they're not necessarily announced, as it were.
Mm.
But in terms of administrative functioning, it becomes very, very critical. His Excellency President Muhammad Buhari has essentially handed over the leadership and governance of the power sector to His Excellency the Vice President, Professor Yemi Osinbajo, who chairs the new Power Sector Coordination Working Group. The Minister of Power is a member of that committee. The Minister of Finance, CBN Governor, are members of that committee. So we now have no oversight and new administration over the power sector in the office of the Vice President. That's number one. Number two, you recall that just within the last few days, we announced that President Muhammadu Buhari has handed over the health sector
to Yemi Osinbajo as well.
Under the chairmanship of the Vice President. So
yes.
There's really a lot to look forward to. I think that the key issue on the Siemens project, and I want to be very clear about this, the major constraint we faced was the issue of the once-in-a-century global pandemic. Why?
Mm.
When you had the shutdown of global aviation, right, you now had a situation where all of these items that were being manufactured in Germany and being procured in Germany. All of the production in Germany, of course, shut down with their shutdowns, number one. So these things are not even being produced on the right timetable. Then secondly, now that you're behind on the manufacturing of the items that will now be installed locally in Nigeria, you now have the issue of actually getting the materials once they're finally manufactured into the shores of Nigeria, right? Which had been stalled a bit based by the same consequence of the pandemic. So it had cost us about a year in implementation, very sadly, because obviously when you're dealing with a once-in-a-century pandemic, there are things that will be set back. That is one of the things that had been set back. But we are very happy that everything has fully recovered in terms of the pace of manufacturing within Germany. They've already been paid
okay.
Up front. So there are no issues with money. The things are being manufactured, and then they'll bring them into Nigeria for assembly over the course of the next 24 months. So
okay.
I want to say we're on course, but yeah. We're not on course with the original timetable because we were delayed by a year. And we're very open about the fact that we are going to run behind time as a result of the pandemic. It's just what happened, right? But that's the situation with the Siemens deal. So you can still be expectant. The other thing I want to mention very quickly, my brother, before time runs out on us, and this is very important to all of our people, is that, number one, in the power sector, we've been diligently for the last 4 years, about since 2016, actually 5 years, we've been investing inch by inch, about 10% each year, or 15% each year, in two major power projects. One is the 215 megawatt gas-fired power plant in Kaduna,
okay.
Very strategic power plant that is going to be right on the line of the Ajaokuta-Kaduna-Kano gas pipeline, $2.8 billion pipeline that we're constructing as we speak, which will be concluded by next year. That power station is going to be right on that line, so it's going to have effective gas feed to be able to power the full 215 megawatt. Oh, but secondly, and most importantly, is we've been investing massively in the 700 megawatt Zungero hydroelectric dam in Niger State, which is also going to be completed next year. So between two of them, you have almost 1,000 megawatts of new power that we're going to have on the national grid, in addition to all of the other mini projects across the
country
that we're doing.
Okay.
So that's separate from Siemens. So that is totally separate from the Siemens generation projects that are coming on stream.
Okay. I'm sorry, there's so many questions coming up right now, but to the question Fisai asked, and I think many Nigerians are asking this, what exactly is the problem with our database? Why can't we have a uniformed or unified system? Why do we have duplicity here and there from BVN to NIN to voters card? We seem to not be able to identify people and so keep track of the anti-graft war. Why?
Thank you very much. So I think it's true, you're right, in essence, that this has been a historical and legacy challenge we have had. There's no doubt about that. But I think it would be wrong to suggest that we're not progressing in the direction of having that. So let me give you a very clear example that's verifiable, right? You recall that why is it that Nigerians have been so inconvenienced in recent years, last year or so, with linking NIN to BVN, linking your telecom SIM cards, for
yes.
example, with NIN and BVN.
Yes.
The reason why we're triangulating all of this data, basically bringing these separate strands of data, bringing them together into bundles where you can have a unified database where all of these things are interconnected and interlinked, is because of the process of what you're talking about. So it's actually happening as we speak.
Mm.
The Minister of Communication and Digital Economy, Dr. Pantami, has been very aggressive on this issue. We've been very unyielding. Of course, anytime you're asking people to inconvenience themselves, they're not going to be happy.
Okay. All right.
Of course, why will you be happy if you have to go to MTN office or this office or that office to do something? Of course, you know, it's natural. It's human nature not to be happy with that. But we understand that this is the national interest at stake. We are not just the security implication, but like you said, anti-corruption implication, economic development implication, even in terms of having accuracy of data to more effectively intervene in the economy, being able to plan effectively and accurately over short to medium to long-term economic development planning is based on these kinds of initiatives. So yes, there's short-term pain and inconvenience on the part of our citizens, and we're sorry for that. But we know that it's in the long-term health of the entire nation for this to happen, and that is why President Muhammadu Buhari is making sure that it happens in his time.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to read two messages on our WhatsApp platform. There's so many, we'd never have enough time. Jude, it's an act of wickedness and a lack of empathy for this government to be continuously talking about the infrastructure when majority of Nigerians are living below the poverty level. The rate of inflation under this has been going higher and higher without any form of control. Really? Now, in 2015, this government met an unemployment rate of just under 10%. Today,
yeah.
It's double figures. Sadly. So what can they do? Odima is asking.
Thank you very much.
And then we have another question here. Someone here says, I commend the federal government for finally completing the Oyibo section of the PH Enugu Express Road. However, ask Ajiri, when the federal government plans to fix the Afam Road, that road links the Afam Power Station to the rest of Nigeria. first, the road, is it not a federal road? Apart from the East-West Road, Abar Road, and Ikoyi Road, can you name the federal roads in River State so we know whom to target when our protests need to come forth? Text in Oyibo.
Yes, please. Thank you very much for the opportunity to answer this question. Let me take the second brother that sent that question from our farm. Very quickly on that, one thing that I'm not in life is that I'm not a liar. And so I'm not going to tell you that we're doing something we're not doing. There are roads across the nation, across all geopolitical zones, my brother, and I'm being very frank this morning, that we are not doing. And it's not because we do not want to do them or because we don't care about the people in those areas. It is because we have a very finite pool of very limited resources that we are literally stretching across not just roads, by the way, airports, roads, bridges, railways, power plants, dams, schools, hospitals, I mean, the security sector, defense, armed forces. I mean, it's just oil and gas pipeline. I mean, it's just enormous, right? So that is a functional reality of where we are right now. When you're dealing with 50 years of deficit, you will not bridge it in 6 years. And you certainly will not bridge it in 6 years when you have two economic recessions and once-in-a-century global pandemic and limited oil prices compared to what we had in previous decades, right? So these are the real constraints. So I'm not going to tell you we're doing something we're not doing. What I will tell you is that we are doing more than anybody has even attempted to do before, decades combined. And I'm saying that we have to focus on completing the ones we're doing before we... It doesn't make sense for us to put 10% of our progress on Afan Road and then do 10% on another road, 10% on another road, and meanwhile, they're not completed.
They're not completed. Okay.
It's better to be realistic and prudent and say, we want to take this one to 100%, this one 100%, this one 100%, and then once these ones are completed, we can now devote 100% to that Afan Road as an example.
All
that's
right.
What we're doing. And okay. I wish I could tell you something sweeter and nicer, but that is what
that is what
the other. Now, let me just say, but there was a very critical question. I have to answer this question.
Yes, please.
The issue of unemployment.
Yes.
There are two things here, and I want to be very clear, and anybody can verify again what I am saying. First and foremost, in the history of this nation, in the modern history of this country, in the last 40 years, let's just say from 1980 to date, is there any Nigerian who believes in their heart of hearts, I'm talking about when they're in their quiet time, they will tell you that we have ever had 8% or 10% unemployment in the last 40 years? That means that out of 200, not even 200 million people, let's say adult population, adult age population is 120 million. Do you believe that at any time in the last 40 years, 12 million or less of the 120 million adult Nigerians were employed, that were unemployed, that the remaining were employed? I don't believe any Nigerian who understands basic economics believes that that is the case. So what we have said is that it's not about banding a figure, 8% or 30% or any of that, because we know that those are not accurate figures. What we are saying is that we have to work very hard, not because we want to make government look good or look bad, because I'm in government now, tomorrow I will not be in government. So it's not about who is in government, who's not. It's about institutional strengthening and about the country.
Okay.
How this thing works is that, I have to say this, my brother, please, very quickly, give me 2 minutes to answer this question. But if we do not have accurate data, accurate statistics, we cannot accurately plan, we cannot accurately intervene in the economy to make it the economy that all of us want it to be. That's number one. Number two, we have asked the NBS, the National Bureau of Statistics, which is a non-partisan government agency run by technocrats, right? That look, right now, this is a fact that can be verified. Even the Corporate Affairs Commission has announced this. You have 40 million informal micro, small, and medium scale enterprises in this country that are not registered with the CAC. They are not registered with FIRS, and they are not paying tax because they're not registered, right? You have 40 million, my brother, let me make this very practical for our listeners. If you go to a market, go to Slaughter, well, I guess state government has collapsed Slaughter now, but go to Mile One or any of these markets, you're going to see, you're going to be seeing, Nigerians, industrious Nigerians running their own market stalls, even employing other Nigerians. My brother, in the unemployment data of today coming from the NBS, this is a fact. All those people who are employing themselves and employing other Nigerians who are above the poverty line, right, well above $1 a day, who are employed in these markets and boutiques and rural communities and all of that, tens of millions of them are
being tabulated today as we speak. They're being tabulated as one, unemployed, and two, under the poverty line. Meanwhile, they are over the poverty line, and number two, they are employed. But because NBS does not have the capacity to be able to tabulate all the tens of millions of informal MSMEs across the nation, all they're tabulating are the regulated companies. The FIR, the government agencies, the telecom companies, oil and gas companies, banking sector, all these mainstream sectors, right, that are paying their taxes, that are registered with CAC. So what we are seeing is we have a hugely flawed unemployment data, right, that we have to now work assiduously with the NBS to figure out, not because of APC or because of Buhari, but because of making sure that we have accurate data to be able to plan as a country how we're going to develop over the short to medium to long term. So anybody saying we had 8% unemployment in 2015, even though NBS released that figure, we all know that it is nonsense. All of us know that. So we have to now figure out, okay, how are we going to make this accurate so that we can have an accurate and efficient set of data and statistics that we can actually plan our economy around. And that's very, very important for the future of the country. Now, leave APC and PDP.
Oh, okay, all right. So that's very important. Well, Ajiri, we never seem to have enough time when we have conversations here. There are so many questions. The phone lines have not stopped buzzing. I'm getting a message here right now on my own phone from New York. Somebody wants to speak with you, but unfortunately, we cannot take those questions. But we look forward.
And I have another hour free before my next engagement. I wish I could stay with you and discuss. It's okay. I will come back. Whenever you call me, I will come back. My important. Well, I will come back and discuss. No problem.
All right. So hopefully next week, we'll also have another time for us to disseminate some more information. Thank you very much.
It's great to come home. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right. That's Ajiri Ngalale here. Hello, Port Harcourt. Controversy, as always, it's always contentious. We never seem to have enough time. The roads have been made mentioned. Obviously, we have people who do not agree. And I'm sorry. I really wish we could take more of these conversations. Good morning, June. Someone's talking about the Osusuma accident. I am actually going to save this message because I have two or three regular callers from that Osusoma area. We'll talk about that next week, all things being equal. My name is Jude. It's been a pleasure, a humbling experience to have you listen and also air your views and get to hear what the government is doing about the infrastructure. It's nowhere near where we want. Nowhere near where we want. But if we keep on talking about it, we'll probably be getting these answers as they come.